Happy Super Bowl Sunday, Groundhog Day, and very cool palindrome date, 2020-02-02 day, listeners. Jason Agnew here. It is February 2nd. The edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is coming up. And as we hit February, for you, it can be free-buary. That's a terrible pun. But the purpose of it is, if you sign up for the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon right now, your first month is free. All you have to do is hit up patreon.com/SNME Radio. Pick the Bucca Show tier and sign up, and I will refund your money immediately for your first month. So you're going to be listening for free for 1 month. What you're going to get with that is this show each and every week, commercial free. That means you don't have to hear ads like this one with me talking. Along with that, you're going to get the All Elite Weekly, aka the Old Fucks podcast with Dan the Mouth Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo. The Super Showdown review is coming on up at the end of the month. The return of the weekly listener-driven podcast, the Midweek Markout, and also our two non-wrestling-centric shows, Sunday Morning Trivia that I host, as well as Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party. So make your February a free brewery. Is that better? Probably not. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Go sign up. And now, on with the show.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
It's Super Bowl Day. It's Groundhog Day. It's Palindrome Day. But most importantly, it's Sunday. And that means it's time for Sunday Night's Main Event. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canada's premier wrestling radio program, Sunday Night's Main Event, online at snmeradio.com and coming at you across Canada on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, joined tonight by the man who made the glorious prediction of Santina Marella being a part of last week's Women's Royal Rumble. Bartender Dave is here, and actually, so will be Santina Marella, Dave.
Oh, thank you so much, Brother Jason. And like the Postal Service, no rain, no sleet, no snow, no torn up Richmond Street, no parking, no problem, because nothing can keep me away from the mecca of pro wrestling journalism, Sunday night's main event.
So you made it here, Dave. And actually, on the line, we will have Santina Marella slash Anthony Carelli.
That's
coming
a lot of
slashes. Coming to us later this evening from Colombia, where he is getting a stem cell treatment to try to heal his back, much like what Edge did to heal his neck. We'll talk to Anthony about that, as well as his Rumble appearance last week. Plus, also in the show, Dave Meltzer will drop in to chat about WWE economics and give us injury updates on some key players. Another third round battle in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament as we get into the Attitude Era this week. And so with lots to get into, why wait? Let's take a look back at this week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
The biggest wrestling news story of the week comes not from in the ring, but rather inside the boardroom, as WWE has fired two of its top executives. WWE issued a press release on Thursday afternoon stating that co-presidents George Berrios and Michelle Wilson are gone from WWE effective immediately and will no longer serve on the company's board of directors. This seemed to be an impulse firing by Vince McMahon, which is bad for all stockholders because it prompted the WWE stock to fall $13.42. That's like 25% of its value in one day, Dave. This took a huge hit.
Well, that's crazy, too, because George Berrios has been around for a long time.
Both of them have been there for like a decade.
Yeah, that's insane. Well, we got the reason why Andrade took the DDT to the concrete on the outside of the ring on Monday night was to write him off TV for a month in order for him to serve his 30-day wellness policy violation. This is Andrade's first violation, and apparently he was told of the violation on Monday morning, hence the angle being put in place for that night.
It's kind of interesting interesting that we've had so many, you know, years, it seemed,
yeah,
without any violations. And now all of a sudden, who we had? We had Primo Colon and Robert Roode with their first offenses. And now Andrade here. And more interestingly with this one, they didn't take the title off him.
Yeah, exactly. He still got it. And even more interesting was that Primo Colon still has a job.
That is true. I mean, he's back off wellness policy violation. Yeah. Not like we've seen him. Back to doing what you were doing, Primo, and that's nothing. If you're wondering why Samoa Joe disappeared on Kevin Owens in his tag match on Monday, well, he legitimately suffered a concussion after a suicide dive to the outside. At present, Joe's return has yet to be announced and is, as is normally the way with concussions, you never know.
Yeah, and he's had a pretty rough go of it with the hand injury and that. Like, he's primed to go. I'd love to see him do an actual long run, but it's just... wrong cards being drawn. Right.
Maybe
now
he should have just stayed on the announce desk, because then we wouldn't have to deal with Byron Saxton, who made his return this past week.
There's unfortunate things to everything. He was so good on the commentary. But AJ Styles separated his shoulder while taking the spear from Edge. He's looking to be recovered in 4 to 6 weeks, so he's hoping to be back for WrestleMania. And do you see him maybe coming in as a triple threat? With the Edge and Randy Orton?
I don't think so.
I'd watch that.
We'll talk about the angle in the next segment, but if you look at how important that angle felt and how much history there is with it, I think AJ would just come in as a weird sidebar. You know, it would dilute the match, much like last year putting Charlotte into the main event where it could have just been Becky and Ronda. But listen, as far as Charlotte, AJ, and Edge and all of those angles go, that's going to be a big focus on this show today, so we shall get to it. In other WrestleMania news, despite rumors to the contrary, Ronda Rousey, who I just mentioned, is not scheduled to appear at WrestleMania. The current women's plan has Becky versus Shayna and Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. More on that a little bit later in the show.
MVP posted up on his Instagram that his match with Rey Mysterio was his last with the company. And he also alluded to him getting later on in years and looking forward to retirement as
I'm surprised, actually, that he really had no impact in the Rumble. I was kind of excited to see him because it wasn't unexpected because it leaked out a couple days before were running his video, but I always liked his character, and we saw the value in Impact Wrestling where he is a great mouthpiece, so why not utilize this guy for someone young? You know what? We're going to talk a little bit about, because it just hit me right now. You know, so Mojo's trying to do this football thing, and along with that, they just popped up, Riddick Moss as his, what a terrible debut. But if you're going to do that, they're a sports type of deal there. They're a sports gimmick. MVP's a sports gimmick.
Ballin'.
Give him a mouthpiece.
Yep.
Throw something like that together, make him a tag team, a much better debut than what we saw for Riddick Moss on Monday night. That was garbage. In ratings news, AEW once again topped NXT in average audience. AEW managed 828,000, while NXT had 712,000.
Bret Hart announced that he will be having surgery to remove a small basal cell carcinoma, a form of skin cancer. And let's hope it was caught early enough and he finds full recovery in the near future.
Yeah, Bret has really had a hard go of things. I mean, with the knees and the stroke, and there's a bunch of other things I'm forgetting. I know he has problems with his hands as well. So it's just surprising that he looks as good as he does despite all the things that have happened to him. Both Nikki and Brie Bella have announced they are pregnant.
Oh boy.
And only a week and a half apart. This has to be a reality series, right?
Oh my God, yes.
Baby Bellas? Bella babies?
Oh, printing money here,
Jason. Well, I try to help with marketing.
And Ring of Honor seems to be dead set on keeping Villain Enterprises intact as Brody King has re-signed with the company. No contract details have been revealed at this point, but King joins Marty Scurll in re-signing with the company, both of which had good amounts of speculation that they would be going elsewhere.
This kind of surprises me. You know, I actually thought that Brody King would make one hell of a tag team partner for Luke Harper and AEW.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, because who was he? It was Brody...
Brody Lee. And Brody King.
Oh.
The Brodies.
Oh.
Brodies. With all of their... No, not that. That's not good marketing. ROH announced on Friday that the company would be bringing back the Pure Championship. This title hasn't been in use since Daniel Bryan defeated Nigel McGuinness in a match to unify the ROH World and Pure Championships in 2006. Now, the return of the title will begin in a tournament at the Pure Excellence Night 1 event in Columbus, Ohio on Friday, April the 10th. First round matches will also take place at Pure Excellence Night 2 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on Saturday, April the 11th. Pure title matches featured rules where closed fist punches were illegal and each competitor was allowed 3 rope breaks to stop submission holds and pinfalls during the match. After that, pinfalls and submission holds or under the ropes would be legal. So, to me, I don't know if we need all those rules around it.
That's a lot of rules.
Yeah, it just, I'm not sure. I don't know why companies think adding another title is beneficial. To this, there's a little bit of nostalgia, as there is with bringing back, like, the TV title as far as NWA goes. But I don't understand why another title companies think means more importance. To me, it just dilutes all your other titles.
Yeah, I'll totally agree with you. And the way that match with Daniels and McGuinness.
Oh, McGuinness, sorry.
When that match was just bloody and beautiful, and it was just gorgeous how it played out, and I thought it was a good end to the Pure Championship. I thought it was a perfect end for it.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Coming back.
We got Pro Wrestling Noah has been acquired by Cyber Agent. This is the same company that owns the DDT promotion. According to details of the deal, the two promotions will continue to run as separate entities, but will partner with one another for cross-promotions.
Yeah, they're going to do some talent shares, apparently. As we mentioned, Impact Wrestling will be going back to the TNA brand for one night. It's going to happen in an event called There's No Place Like Home. Now, they've now started announcing talent for this event, and get ready to be excited, because here's what they got. Amazing Red, Disco Inferno, D'Lo Brown, and Ken Anderson, they're going to be representing Aces and Eights, because those are the two people I think of when I think Aces and Eights. Chris Sabin, Wildcat Chris Harris, where has he been?
Yeah.
Scott Steiner, and Petey Williams. There's No Place Like Home will take place on Friday, April the 3rd, as part of WrestleCon. No word on whether Kevin Nash will show up to play Oz for the event. Get it?
Oh, yeah, huh? I saw that.
There's
you no had me at like Disco
home.
Inferno,
There's
though.
No Place Like Home. But Dave, though, I don't even remember Disco Inferno being part of TNA. I
Nor
know he's
I.
there now, isn't he? Like, I
couldn't tell you.
I don't watch much anymore, but he's not a name. That's the thing. All of these names, okay, Petey Williams, D'Lo, really? No. Wildcat Chris Harris, I guess Chris Sabin, but none of that is a draw for me. This is an absolute mistake to go from a brand that is already that is still extremely confused and has had so much of a time getting rid of the TNA moniker, which they still, I guess they're doing better with just being called Impact now, but still it's known as TNA.
It's still sullied by that whole TNA name. And we got Ken Anderson to come out and say, I done crossed the line again. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember
when he made his debut.
Is that what he said?
Because it's crossed the line. Oh, man.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into what happened on WWE TV this week. Are you excited about Randy Orton and Edge? Because that looks to be the WrestleMania program. And some very interesting details. It looks like Charlotte will be facing Rhea Ripley. Not out on TV yet, but we'll talk about that, what the whole women's picture looked like as we continue on. The very beginning of the road to WrestleMania. We'll talk about it. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And, if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged, for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and well-stained pants.
Aw, man, you spilled beer on my shinny pants, bud.
Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
I got in the best shape of my life at 46 years old so I could step back in here and end my career on my terms.
They count to me, they understand, they talk to me.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. What you heard there, of course, the big moment that seemed to shock a lot of people, at least so the cutaways told us on Monday night. Edge making his return at the Royal Rumble. Dave, you weren't here last week, but what did you think of Edge and how they brought him back? I mean, it was one that I was looking forward to. What'd you think of the return?
Well, okay, now this is one of the ones that you heard the rumblings and everybody was, but I never believed that it would happen.
Really?
I thought it was... It wasn't going to happen. Like, this guy's spinal stenosis, blah, 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 neck fusion and that. And when it happened, I legitimately was sitting, and I texted you. Like, I was sitting, staring at the entrance for a good 10 seconds, letting the Lego pieces come together. And I was like, oh, my God, this is actually happening. Mm. And it was beautifully done. I thought it was great. I thought that coming in at 21 was good because it gave him a little bit of a run, and it showed that they had an idea for something to do with him in the future. It wasn't just like dropping him in at 28, boom, 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 you're out. You know, like,
I disagree. I wanted it a little bit later. I actually found that because he was in there at 21, you bring up a point that I didn't think of with showing that he can still go by having him in at 21. So I see what you're saying with that. And it did allow him to develop a little bit of tension with AJ, which I'm wondering if was the original program. And then, of course, with Randy Orton as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of thought that it would have been nice to see him at 29 because that was such a, if he's nostalgia, then also it's a throwback to when he did surprise everyone at 29
that
year
great.
That he came back. Yeah. So I kind of wanted to see him at that number. Anyhow, I mean, he's back at 21. He's showed that he can go.
Yeah. And even if they missed the first spear, which was just atrocious.
Yeah. I mean, the cutaways to, we saw the two, the wrong way to use a cutaway to a fan and the right way to use it. The wrong way was missing Edge's spear of Dolph Ziggler.
First spear in 9 years.
You like, cut away
on,
to a fan.
In a real match, anyway.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
The right way to use it is the horrified fans' faces on Monday night when Randy Orton does things at a snail's pace to take him out. I thought the whole segment was very, very slow. But it was a good attack on Orton's part. He just milked it a little bit
too
long for me.
Slow and methodical, just like him. You know, I thought it was fantastic.
You liked it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, and I think that this is a great idea for a WrestleMania program for Edge because you've got somebody that is he's going to take care of Edge. He's safe. You know, they know each other. They have that history of when they were together, when they broke up. And like for Randy Orton, who's coming into his twilight of his career, you know, and then having this guy that is coming back in after 9 years and then getting this big fanfare. I can see him being like, who the heck do you think you are?
Yeah.
Think it's fantastic.
They were together and he's been there the whole time. I get it. I get all the reasons why I'm supposed to love this. And the angle was well done. It did, again, take a little too long. I just don't, maybe I just fell in love with what I wanted to see, and that was Edge and Roman. But if you're to the Battle of the Spears, I wanted. But in doing that, now that I think about it, is those are two, well, one super babyface, Edge, and one the WWE thinks is a super babyface, Roman.
Yeah.
So that necessarily wouldn't work. You're going back. There is history there, so that does make sense. A couple of things that I pulled out of Monday is, where the hell was Tony Chimmel?
Oh, my gosh.
Why didn't we get that?
Superstar.
That's what everybody wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the hell was Tony Chimmel?
Just a one and done. Let him come in, do it, and gone.
No,
fine.
I want him every time Edge comes out. I want him every single time Tony
it's like
should be there.
CM Punk brought in Howard Finkel. He started bringing Howard Finkel. When he comes, he got him to come in and do all of his introductions there for just a span when he was like really, really, he was a bit of a heel at the time.
I don't remember this at all.
No?
No recollection of this whatsoever.
Oh my God. And they had that scene where Howard Finkel came out and took forever. He was like basking in the crowd's cheers for him. And then CM Punk's just tapping his wrist like, come on, get to it. Let's go. It was
really
great. Oh, one of my favorite moments with CM Punk.
All right. I do not remember that. I mean, when I think of personalized announces, I think of, what is it, Roberto Rodriguez,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I think
who was paired with Alberto Del Rio, and then they separated him apart and put him with Rob Van Dam for no reason.
Yes, no, that didn't make any sense. And he was wearing the Rob Van Dam t-shirts
and
everything. Yeah,
so
terrible.
Stupid. Anyhow, so no Tony Chimmel. I didn't like that. I was surprised. I guess I never really thought about it. His Edge is 46, and what shape he is in.
Right.
Absolutely incredible. The only thing about this is it's not a fresh match. Does that bother you?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all. Like Randy Orton takes a lot of heat for being like just too Magoo or whatever.
That's my other problem with it. It's Randy Orton. I have a really hard time getting invested and excited about a Randy Orton match because to me, he is pretty much the definition of a WWE wrestler. Sure, he's good at it. I've just seen him for so long, and I'm not interested at all. And that, to me, is taking away from Edge's comeback, because even though they have the history, even though they have the story, the fact that it's Randy Orton is ultimately what I don't like in this scenario.
Okay, I can see what you're saying, but because they have the history and all that together, they also have been practicing together back when they were a tag team. Yeah. So this match is going to blow it out of the water. Right. You know this is going to be a great match.
But I guess. I just honestly, it's Orton that's taking away from. All right, let's look at other things coming up at WrestleMania, and that is Drew McIntyre. He is going to be what I guess is going to be the WrestleMania main event versus Brock Lesnar. Is this the right choice, in your opinion, Drew McIntyre? I mean, they put him over very strong last week at the Rumble. They had him eliminate Roman Reigns, which was very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Not only eliminating Lesnar, but also the double push in winning the Rumble as well, which I think was the right choice because fans were going to reject Roman Reigns if he won.
Well, so, especially after he eliminated Edge.
Yeah. So what do you think? Drew McIntyre, the right choice here?
Well, what other choice did you have?
That's like, a good point.
And Drew McIntyre, he's been doing really well. Like, you look at somebody who left the company, or was fired from the company, correct? I think he was fired.
Yeah, it was one of the two. I mean, he had the chosen run. It was basically he was put in the position far too early before he was ready, and now he actually is the chosen one.
Exactly. And you look at him leaving. Redefining himself, getting in better shape, getting that Claymore kick over, which is just an amazing move, and then coming back in and just, like, it's a credit to him as a hard worker and understanding his character and just continually growing, and it's beautiful. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do. Do you believe that, is he just another number that Lesnar goes over, or is he going to beat Lesnar at WrestleMania?
He's got to beat Lesnar.
He's got to beat him,
like, like I said, who else is there?
That is an issue. I mean, unless they're building up the Fiend.
No.
Because it looks like now on the other side of things, Roman and the Fiend, even though they haven't done anything with it yet, we didn't see the Fiend this week, but that looks to be the match. That is just going to be
atrocious.
Wow. Yeah. They're really taking a risk putting those two in the ring together, two people that fans do not connect with. That is just a recipe for disaster. Fans... That match has the chance of it being a Goldberg-Lesnar WrestleMania 20 style scenario.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, but I think the fans will side with The Fiend more than Roman Reigns.
Maybe. What does that mean, though?
It means nothing. It's so over The Fiend character. I'm so over with him.
It's a really bad deal that they have going on there with that particular match. Let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll chat about the women's division because this has become very interesting with some of the developments that have happened this week. Not going the direction that many of us thought it would. And I would say for the better. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. You can go your
own way. If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
So, in 10 weeks, I get to face the champion of my choice at WrestleMania. So at WrestleMania, I am going to challenge for a championship. Because I'm still thinking about it.
This is my brutality!
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. That is the speech you heard from the other Royal Rumble winner, Charlotte Flair, coming out and giving a speech on Monday night, but not declaring who she would be facing at WrestleMania. She does have the choice. A lot of speculation last week on the show and a lot of complaints. I remember Paul from the UK called into the show last week and said, Charlotte versus whom is an interesting match. I dare you to find someone. and I kind of agree.
Yes.
I don't want Charlotte versus Becky.
Nope.
I do not want Charlotte versus Bayley.
Absolutely not.
So then Meltzer this week reported the plan is Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, which is slightly fascinating.
I think so, too. And I like just the thought of maybe her going to NXT and challenging like that Rhea Ripley, like that's a brand new match. I love it. What a great idea. But I don't agree with Charlotte winning the Royal Rumble. I really wanted Shayna Baszler to win.
Yeah, I wanted Shayna Baszler to win as well because I wanted the outright challenge of Shayna to Becky. But what I think this does is Charlotte is allowed to now choose the title she wants to fight for. And I guess that's their way of getting around her going and facing Rhea Ripley. I'm guessing she shows up on a Wednesday night, which honestly is good for that Wednesday night brand, right?
For sure,
They're still in this ratings war.
Yeah, it legitimizes NXT as well. If someone from the queen is going to step down, quote unquote.
It's not a step down
I know,
anymore.
Exactly, but a lot of people see it that way.
That's true.
This is another way of saying, hey, I'm not stepping down. I'm stepping right across.
Yep.
And I'm challenging Rhea Ripley.
It is a title because if you do remember back when you and I were doing What's Next, it is a title that she did have. Charlotte's had this title because a couple people have been like, oh, is that the one she doesn't have or hadn't? Because that would have been cool if she never possessed that title and was now going for it. But that's not the case. She has had it before for quite a while, though everything blurs in the world of wrestling in my brain. It's an interesting challenge. It's something different. I don't mind it. It puts Charlotte on that brand for a little bit, perhaps leading up to WrestleMania, which is good for that brand, which is going to drive mainstream eyeballs there, which is what they need.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a fresh match. Listen. And this is the opposite of what I said about Edge and Orton, where to me that's not fresh.
Right.
To me, this is a fresh match. It's interesting. And here's a question for you, though.
Please.
Does this match happen on WrestleMania, or does it happen on TakeOver before WrestleMania?
Oh.
Right?
It has to happen on WrestleMania.
Does it?
Well, it's you're guaranteed a headline spot at WrestleMania for winning the Rumble. Right?
But that title should be defended on TakeOver before WrestleMania.
Maybe it's defended against Bianca Belair.
That's ridiculous. You're going to put Rhea Ripley in a match two nights in a row?
Why not?
I hate
that. She's a workhorse.
That's exactly what happened with War Games and how stupid that was.
Okay, yeah, good point.
They were fighting against one another the night before, and then they were on the main show the next day. Keep this in mind, though. I mean, if Charlotte's going for that title, I think that should be on TakeOver. No disrespect to Charlotte, but that title should be defended on TakeOver. Because keep in mind, you also have the other two damn titles that have to be defended on WrestleMania.
Okay,
it looks
a really
like it's
good
Becky
point.
Versus Shayna, and then whatever the hell Bayley's going to do, which I guess looks like Naomi. No offense to Naomi, but I am simply not interested in that title and those two people whatsoever, and I'm actually shocked that it's not going to be, and I still think it will be. I still think it'll be Lacey Evans, and I think it's going to be Lacey Evans' big-time babyface run that is going to begin at WrestleMania by winning the title there and holding up her daughter in the middle of that ring.
Oh, that's a good way to do it. I like that a lot.
I think it's the character shift that happens right there if it hasn't already. But because of that, you have two titles on WrestleMania. You're telling me you're going to have three women's titles defend. I guess they're not called women's titles anymore.
Right,
but
yeah,
three
yeah.
titles that involve female competitors defended on WrestleMania, which is already going to be, what, an eight-hour show? I would be very, very surprised.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Now, you say it's a fresh match, but in my 45-year-old brain is kind of failing. Is it just Survivor Series? Did they have any interaction at all in Survivor Series, like Charlotte and Rhea Ripley?
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. So how are they going to do that? Why would she come there? Just to get the NXT title again?
I'm curious to see what the justification is of that. That's actually a very good point. I mean, maybe she can say, hey, you know, in some weird way, she can say, I beat everyone in the Rumble. I've beaten Becky before. Bayley is nothing. We all agree.
Yes.
And I'm coming after you. You're a dominant champion. I honestly don't know how. I mean, that's
not bad. Yeah.
That's part of the interesting angle here. The way they're going to get to this match has got to be very interesting. And again, this is my word of 2020. It has to be a fresh way of getting there.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're going to that brand and you're challenging for that title. So it'll be different. It'll be fresh. That's really all I'm craving in the world of wrestling right now is something fresh and just not the same thing we see each and every week on television.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what you need. So you need something like Rhea Ripley coming to Raw one Monday night.
I think it has to be the other way.
Well, just a, like...
Why is Ripley coming to Raw? Why is... There's no... You have to have Charlotte go to NXT. Charlotte is the one presenting the challenge.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side of things, Shayna has to be the one that shows up on Raw. And I think after you have Shayna set the record on Sunday night at the Rumble, throwing at eight people, equaled the record of Bianca Belair.
Yes, yeah.
Why wasn't Shayna there on Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
When Becky said, I've defeated everybody, I defeated Asuka, my nemesis, why did Shayna not walk out and say, you haven't defeated me? Remember Survivor Series?
Yep.
Here's footage. I beat you, and I'm going to do it again.
Oh, writes itself.
It does write itself. But why wasn't it done, Dave? Why didn't that happen on Monday night? Why is WWE refusing to strike while the iron is hot? Blows my mind.
Mismanagement?
Instead, on Monday night, they went along and did their thing. Thursday night, we decided to... Really, this week felt like a bit of a rehash of old angles. Because Friday, for some reason, we saw Reigns and Corbin.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
In the dog food match, I don't know. I'm guessing one of the reasons why they may not have done this on the Rumble was because it would have made a giant mess.
Yeah, probably.
At the ring?
It was everywhere.
Oh, man.
And you know
gross.
That I'm a big Baron Corbin fan, but yeah. This I'm done with. It was gross in so many different ways. And to keep rehashing this angle is, I hope this is done.
I think it is. And I think these guys got to move on. And this week will probably be the start of what we had talked about, Reigns and Bray Wyatt being the feud that they're headed towards for WrestleMania. Another interesting pivot that they made on SmackDown was Braun Strowman defeating Nakamura for the Intercontinental title.
Yep.
Who do you put with him? Is that where Corbin goes?
Yeah, I guess.
Corbin Strowman?
Like, what? That's another one. He's another character dead in the water to me.
You're right.
Like it's
stale. Okay,
let's put this title that didn't mean anything when it was on Nakamura onto this guy that doesn't mean anything. So now, like, you might as well have the 24/7.
And I feel as though we saw immediately after that match, backstage, Nakamura's there with Sami Zayn and Cesaro, and they made the quickest pivot I've ever seen with having Elias being in the ring, annoying Sami. And now it looks like after Cesaro goes in and does that match, I feel as though now that's the program that you're headed towards. It's going to be Elias wrapped up with these three guys. And Braun Strowman is completely somewhere else. And I honestly don't really know where that's going to be. Corbin kind of makes sense, but that is a horrendous program.
Yeah. In,
no
in
one
so
wants
many different
that.
Ways. Yeah.
Not even you and your Corbin
me.
Fan.
Not even me. Yeah.
Who should the King go against next if you're such a Corbin fan? Who is an interesting program for you to watch Baron Corbin against? Can you come up with one name? One name, Dave. I'll give you time.
No.
That's a no. That's a no, David. That is an absolute no, because there's really nothing interesting to be done with Baron Corbin. At least the dog food is done. I'm curious to see where they go with the King. When we come back, we'll flip over. We'll chat a little bit about Wednesday nights. We'll chat a little bit about AEW and NXT and some fresh stuff going on those shows. Fresh! It's just my new word of the year. Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Superkick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Let's address the true offense from last week. Jim Ross, good old JR. Don't you ever interrupt me when I'm speaking again, understand? Yeah, you sit there all smug and pretentious in judgment of my division, of my generation, and you sit there each week and collect a very large paycheck while we do all the work. Be the legend I grew up on, Jim. Not a sloppy barbecue sauce sales rep who can't even get our roster's name straight.
I feel something.
Baker as a heel. Just full out heel. Welcome back, Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it. That was a clip from AEW Dynamite on Wednesday night. And Britt Baker is a heel. Dave, yeah. This is the second week that she's taken to the heel persona. The first one was on the boat where her promo got weirdly interrupted. But at least they made reference to that this week with JR cutting her off. And now they're going after low-hanging fruit as far as what Britt is doing. You know, picking on the announcers, Tony and JR, especially Tony, so beloved. What do you think, though, as far as reassigning her to this role?
I think it probably suits her a bit more naturally. She seems like she's a better heel, but still, I don't like her at all, and I feel really sorry for anybody that works at Starbucks.
Why? Because she keeps making reference to Starbucks?
What's wrong with working at Starbucks?
Well, okay, listen, this is definitely better than what Britt was doing. We'll see if her in-ring work improves here. She does seem a little bit more well-suited. Slight criticism of this, because this is the right, this is good for Britt.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand the Starbucks thing. A lot of people love this. And they're like, oh, you insult him, he's at Starbucks. But to me, why wouldn't you just say to Tony, you're finally back in the majors. I know you need AEW because when you aren't doing wrestling, you're just a second-rate baseball announcer. Because he is the announcer for the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves.
Right.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I mean, honestly, AAA baseball is very good baseball. But it's like, you've never made it to the majors there, Tony. We're the only major league thing that you have going for
you. That would have made a lot more sense. And this way, it just seems like product placement. They want to seem hip. We like Starbucks. We like our Tai Chi lattes and or whatever you call them.
So this week, they also changed their makeup. Which Mouth said was very Olivia Newton-John. he did say that on All Elite Weekly this week.
I got chills. They're multiplying.
I mean, that he said it was her character at the end of Grease.
Yeah.
That is what she looked like here. They did make her, in my opinion, look horrendous, and I guess that's good for the heel. I like the integration of the dentist, of course. I thought the best reference out of all of this, and I had to look it up, but I knew where they were going with it, is Cleveland, you finally have a baker you can trust in.
I did not get this at all.
Okay, you didn't, but this is constructed very well.
Now, okay.
For those of you that are football fans, we're doing this show on Super Bowl Sunday. The quarterback of the Cleveland Browns is Baker Mayfield.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's why they made this reference. They were in Cleveland at the time. It made so much sense. It was so well put together and well written, and you always try to go after that sports reference.
Right.
Again, it's low-hanging fruit, but you know, the crowd definitely dislikes Britt, and she's getting the reaction, so I do think it's the right way to go. My question, though, is this just going to lead us back to Britt Baker and Riho?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, it's not good at all, but it's exactly what it looks like it's going towards. Because what else is she going to do? She's being placed at the top tier. And granted, like the way they're using that dentist. Oh, did you say that I'm a dentist? I'm a dentist. Like, I love that they're using that in this heel persona.
No, it makes sense,
you know? Yeah. I'm better than this. I don't have to be a wrestler. I'm just being a wrestler because I'm that good at being a wrestler, which she's not. But you know what
That's
I mean?
That's another problem. What happens in the ring?
Exactly. But you go back to Rio, and I don't want to see that.
Well, Rio apparently, man, I'm just baffled at this and how much I dislike this character and have no interest in her matches, yet how much the crowd enjoys Riho. You're not into it either?
No, not really.
Mouth doesn't get, I don't think that there's anyone on this crew, and I don't know Mark's opinion, but, you know, the five of us that run this show, I don't know if anyone has bought into Riho.
No, she was my WTF. No. I used her as something like
that. You used her on the worst of show, and I can't remember what exact category, but you were just very surprised that they're giving her such a push. But the push is there because the crowd does get behind her. The crowd loves this woman. I have the same problem with her as I do with Kairi Sane, and that is the believability of such a small woman in the ring taking on a giant. And I know what you're going to say, listeners. Well, what about Rey Mysterio and Kevin Nash? Rey Mysterio and the Big Show, but I just...
Rey Mysterio can wrestle.
No, but I mean, I guess Riho can wrestle.
No, it's all about hentai.
There's a huge part of, you know, there's a huge part of that involved in the marketing as well, that particular crowd that is finding her and enjoying her. And they're going after crowds that are more than the traditional wrestling crowd as well. I mean, that's one thing you have seen. If something is working, AEW will run with it to their credit. And I guess Riho is working. It's just not working for me. And I am not looking forward to Britt and Riho. The only thing I might be looking forward to is Britt cheating to beat Riho and then Britt being the champion that never wants to wrestle.
Oh, I like that a lot.
And just cut. They work on her promos and she just never wants to wrestle. But the problem you have with that is the promos. Then you have two prominent heel champions with Jericho and Britt Baker in both of those divisions. So I don't know if you want that. And I don't think, looking down the line, that Moxley is the right guy to take the title away from Jericho.
No, I don't think so either.
I think that's Omega down the line.
Yeah, but you got to build up Omega.
Long time.
Yeah, exactly. And why not just, okay, Inner Circle needs a female. Britt Baker.
No, come on. Don't do that. Don't compromise the Inner Circle. Britt's got her own thing going on. The dentist gimmick is very strong. Let's face it. I mean, people hate going to the dentist.
Yes, exactly.
The fact that she was being pushed as a babyface never made sense.
Okay, let's do this. Jon Moxley challenges Jericho for the championship, knocks out his tooth.
Okay. No,
he needs a dentist.
Let's talk about Jon Moxley.
Okay.
He started the episode of AEW this week. It's 10-on-1.
Yep.
He ends up having 10-on-1, and Moxley still gets away. I guess this goes back to what they used to do with Stone Cold, how Stone Cold would defeat everyone and just keep stunning security guys, and the goons were there, but
Moxley's that much more greasy, and he can just squeak away.
I didn't care for the beginning of this. And was it just me, or was Christopher Daniels the agent that took the DDT?
It looked a lot like him. I'm pretty sure it was.
I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes no sense if it was him.
Well,
he's
going to be the exalted one.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you think it's him?
Yes.
Do you think that's what happens?
Of course it is. They were killing his character, like, left, right, and center, just to have him become this giant, exalted one. That's what I totally believe is going to happen.
So the Dark Order is clearly targeting Christopher Daniels.
Yep.
Now, the exalted one, I will tell you, the original booking for this did come out that it was supposed to be Marty Scurll.
Oh.
And that is not happening anymore.
Well, no, he's re-signed, right?
Ring of Honor, and they're doing the partnership with NWA. We'll talk about Scurll later in the show. So instead, you have a position where they're going after Christopher Daniels. I mean, Christopher Daniels was the fallen angel, but is that satisfying for it to be Christopher Daniels, or will it be cheesy if it's him?
Oh, it's going to be absolutely cheesy.
And
this storyline has been completely cheesy and garbage, and that's exactly why it's going to be Christopher Daniels.
So is it better to be Christopher Daniels, or is it better to be, we all know, the possibility of Matt Hardy?
Well, of course, Matt Hardy would be much better, and he would be so much more suited for this role because he's like so out there and crazy, and would be the type to actually take this and go, because he's absolutely useless in the WWE.
He really is.
Like,
but I don't even think it's his fault.
They just
set him up to fail right from the very beginning.
You put him back into that Team Extreme gear.
Yeah, they did.
What is he, 43, 44?
He's up there, yeah.
Oh, come on. I can't believe
what
they did.
It's like putting us in the Team Extreme
gear,
you know? It's not
suited. We should totally do that for Halloween.
Nope. Characters have to evolve. And Matt Hardy had evolved this character.
Yep.
Then they went woken, broken, and it was very strange. Yeah, to me, though, I mean, Matt Hardy, that is, is doing this on on YouTube once again. I feel as though it's just a parody of what it used to be.
Absolutely agree with
you. And I don't know. I think that fans will go overblown, insane, crazy if Matt Hardy shows up in AEW. If he is the exalted one, they'll go nuts.
Yeah, they will. And it'll save the whole storyline.
No, it won't. No. No, that's not what I'm saying. I think they'll go nuts for a day. And then you realize,
It's Matt Hardy.
Oh, it's Matt. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, well, we've seen this before a few years ago. I'm curious if Matt Hardy, who is very smart.
Yes.
He has a wrestling mind. He has created this whole universe. But is this universe still of interest to the wrestling fan, or was this just something that should be left alone and TNA with Jeremy Borash, sorry, Impact, I guess, yeah. Hence the confusion, Impact with Jeremy Borash had a nice run with it and is something that really fit at that time, but it is something that we can look back upon, but it's not going to work now. I don't know if it will work now, even if he's just left to his own devices.
Yeah, I think you're right that the crowd will go crazy the first day.
Yes.
Then it'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, the WWE killed that character a long time ago.
And it's just Matt Hardy in the ring with
exactly.
You want to talk about broken Matt Hardy? You know what's broken about Matt Hardy?
His body.
His body is broken, man.
Poor guy.
I feel terrible for him. He's been put through so much. And maybe this is an okay role for him because maybe he's not in the ring as much. And maybe it would work where he's just talking and he's just crazy. And I think fans there may like that and want that character. And believe me, nothing to me is working with the Dark Order right now, but I don't know. I don't want to see Matt Hardy in the ring. It hurts me to watch it.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad.
Let's take a break. We shall come on back. We shall chat with Dave Meltzer. He'll kick off the next hour. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams. Thanks for listening to the first hour of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, if you like what you just heard and you want the second hour, which includes Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, and fan feedback, well, it can be yours commercial free, so you don't have to hear me talk about it, and it's going to be free for this month. All you got to do is sign up for our Patreon. The Buck a Show level is going to be free for first timers this month at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Sign up for it and I will click refund on your charge and you will get it for free for 1 month. February is free brewery. I'm starting to like it now. patreon.com/SNMEradio.
What is Naomi doing?
It's Santina!
What?
She looks wonderful!
It's wonderful!
Santina's put on some weight.
Can't say that, Tom.
Oh. You look so good to me.
Santina Marella making his slash her return last week at the Royal Rumble. Obviously, one of my favorite characters of all time was Santina Marella.
Yeah.
Anthony Corelli, who plays both of these parts, is a friend of the show. He's done my comedy shows here in Toronto. And he went to high school with you, Dave.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He was a couple of years below me.
Now, you made the prediction, though, that Santina Marella would be a part of the Women's Royal Rumble, and you were right.
Yeah, well, I liked your idea, how your idea played out better with him getting knocked out in 1 second and
having the record
for both. That would be so good.
That would have been fun. But actually, it probably would have caused a lot more flack. So in this interview, the reason why I thought, hey, let's have Anthony on was to talk about the fact, you know, the Royal Rumble, he came about, played Santina. But in this interview, he talks about the fact that he got some heat. Did you see this online heat of people saying, well, Santina took up a spot of another person?
Also,
2020, is the Santina Marella character appropriate? This actually all comes up in the interview.
Really?
So there's that aspect.
But you had like Beth Phoenix in the Male Rumble.
That's
Nia
the part
Jax.
I brought up, especially the link with Beth Phoenix and having them together. To me, it made sense. But to some people, it did not. So we get into that. Interesting, though, as I contacted Anthony and said, hey, would you mind coming on the show? He said, Jay, I'd love to, but can we not do it on the phone? Because I'm wondering, I'm in Colombia. I don't know if my phone is going to work. What are you doing in Colombia? So he is there for stem cell treatments. And, well, you know what? Anthony's going to explain.
Yeah.
This is an interview that I did earlier today. Anthony is in Colombia, and he is getting stem cell treatments in hopes of, well, he'll tell you what he's in hopes of. Santina Marella, Anthony Corelli on Sunday Night's Main Event. You're all the way in Colombia right now, and you're doing something very interesting there in regards to recoup and a new treatment, correct? Tell me about this.
Yeah, I mean, several of the guys have done it, and they've all had very good results. It's stem cell treatment or stem cell therapy. The world leaders, the two countries that are the world leaders are Panama and Colombia. So Rey Mysterio came here, and after all the surgeries and everything he had done on his knee, it was finally the stem cell treatment that allowed him to get back in the ring. Kevin Nash was here. Sheamus, Morrison, the list. I think Edge came here as well.
So when Sheamus went there and when Edge went there, obviously with Edge, was that post-surgery and then pre?
Yeah, that was like recently.
Everybody's
kind of like recently. So the idea is the stem cell treatments are going to regrow the disc. I'm doing six levels, five in my lower back and one in my neck. The rest of my neck was fused, but there's one level that could have been fused, but if they did, you know, it would have been sayonara for sure.
Yeah.
But so we're going to try and regrow the disc. And everyone, Ryback came here. And Ryback was diagnosed with, severe degenerative discs in his lower back and was told he needed a five-level fusion in his lower back.
Hmm.
And his last MRI shows that his discs are fully regenerated. They've regrown. It's incredible. It's cutting edge. It's state of the art, and it's, you know, North America wants more testing and that kind of stuff. And North America uses stem cells from the donor. Like they would have taken from my bone marrow or my fat cells. But here they use umbilical cord stem cells from a donor.
Really?
Someone has just given birth, and they allow to take the stem cells from the umbilical cord, and they're much more effective. I don't want my 45-year-old stem cells.
Yeah, you want young, new stem cells.
Fresh.
So what happens then? So they take the stem cells out of the umbilical cord, and then are they injected into the discs in your back?
Yeah, they cultivate them, they duplicate them, and they have a process where they, you know, they just make more of them. They're going to do six intradiscular injections. So they actually inject them in the disc, then they put this gel that kind of locks the stem cells in place locally, and they will regrow. You'll feel significant improvement in about 3 months, and they'll continue to grow for up to 3 years.
Hmm.
And Ryback's absolutely swears by it. He's lifting super heavy. I'm not looking to lift 700 plus pounds like he does, but quality of life. I got a little baby at home, and I want to people play with him a little more, and you know, get down there and coach him as well. I want to coach him.
Yeah, I mean, you had mentioned that, and also in a Facebook message I saw, you had talked about ending your career on your own terms. So is it of interest to you to, I mean, you know, we saw the jokey bit last week, but actually getting back into the ring, is that something that you are interested in doing and one of your reasons for doing this?
Yeah, it's definitely not my first reason, but after, you know, making the decision to do this, I'm like, I can actually, if it works as well as I hope, I can do a couple of things that I really love. One of them is I want to compete at a veteran world championships in judo,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even one in jiu-jitsu. The veteran world championships, those are when you're fighting guys your own age, like 45 to 50 would be my age group. And then, yeah, you know, they got this whole situation now with AEW and Fox, and it's really a good environment for the wrestlers, and they're getting paid really well and being taken care of. So might as well go cash in a few years. I think I definitely have something I can bring to the table. But I just got to wait till this, it is confirmed that I am indeed going to be better. And then I'll pitch him a few ideas. I think I wouldn't mind working with R-Truth a little bit.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, indeed. You guys definitely share, you know, the comedy side of things, and has less bumps when you're doing the comedy as well, which would be good for someone with a newly fixed back.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being like his, you know, arch nemesis rival for a while. Then we find that mutual respect for each other, and then we become a tag team or something like that.
Sounds fun. So let's talk about what happened, you know, last week. We saw you on WWE TV. It's been quite a while. Well, we saw your sister there. But, you know, when did the phone call happen, and how did it all come about for you to show up at the Rumble?
Yeah, well, throughout the year, I've been doing, you know, one-off matches here and there. And you know, I'm definitely capable of having a match here and there. So I just called them and said, look, if you're looking for a special guest, alumni surprise to be eliminated, like I can handle that. I can't go on a European tour and have, you know, 21 singles matches in a row, but I can definitely get eliminated from a Royal Rumble. And yeah, I guess they escalated it to the powers that be, and then I got a phone call. So it was probably the week of, like, I think it was the week of, like Monday or Tuesday. And it was just, you know, it's Vince has approved you participating in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's as Santina. And I was like, I thought it was going to be, they said potentially it may be as both, right?
Oh, right. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. I mean, my preference was definitely Santino.
Mm-hmm.
But when I knew it was going to be Santina, you know, I embraced it just the same. I knew it was going to be fun and we're going to have a silly moment. And you know, the wrestling is like the how do you say it? Like, it's almost like I do that part for free. It was really nice to go to Houston and see everybody backstage. And it was like a vacation for me where I just got to step out and do something silly for a couple of minutes. But hour and a half makeup, though. Holy smokes.
An hour and a half makeup? Whoa, seriously? No.
Yeah.
What?
It was, there was one makeup artist, a gentleman, that was really happy that he had the opportunity to dress up a man in drag and really did an incredible job. I mean, the effort he put was amazing. The layers and details just in the eyes was like crazy. Of course, just as I'm getting the makeup, Undertaker walks in. I'm like, oh man, and of all the people. But he was, you know, he chuckled and stuff. We had a nice sit down afterwards just talking about getting old and maintaining and rehabbing and all that kind of stuff. And he's obviously been through the ringer quite a bit himself.
Well,
but yeah, it was interesting. Some of the online backlash was crazy, man.
I want to talk to you about that because you're right. There was online backlash, and I think that's very different from when you originally did this years ago to now. There's also been rumors that have come about of, oh, some people, some female performers being unhappy that you were taking a spot. But, I mean, how did you deal with the backlash?
Well, there was no backlash in person. So okay. There was no backlash with any of the females, with anybody in the audience. It's just, I'm pretty sure it's just online people that love to argue and stuff like that. And it's a very small percentage, and I'm aware of that. But they just are very visible because they complain online and they tag everybody and they get into these online debates. But there, it was always, I guess back in the day when Santina first came out, there wasn't that really that constant dissatisfaction of the product. Someone else could have taken the spot, but the boss wanted something funny and that's what he got. And that's really the end of it. But then there was all these layers to it. There was all these, I don't know if it was insulting to the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. If it was just insulting for women that have been working so hard, I'm not sure. Or not really anybody, because I hear people then after a while, guys, it's wrestling, it's just comedy, relax. And then people are getting into it about how, you know, African-American athletes had to fight for everything too, and you think we had it easy. And I was like, guys, this is not how you're supposed to enjoy wrestling. Just enjoy it, man. It was just a funny ha-ha spot. For me, it was awesome to be in the ring with Beth and Natty, you know, two consummate professionals. And
well, along with that, Anthony, I mean, I do think that there was some rationale behind it because the story was there told with yourself and Beth and Glamorella, and you know, it did make sense.
Yeah, I mean, Santina existed 8 years ago. She was a character and it was on the show and it was a throwback to the show. I really learned to become quite desensitized to anybody that has a negative opinion online. There's just an abundance. And I think people are getting conditioned to believe that they're supposed to have a negative opinion about something. I mean, you watch every single episode of Raw and someone's just going to say, this sucks. this sucks. Any performance, any superstar. I was reading something about someone was talking poorly of Naomi, and I'm like, man, you're out of your damn mind. That girl is amazing. Like, you know, how do you even have the filter on your eyes to perceive that anything she does as negative? So it's really an epidemic. It's a disease, man. People just really think, and I swear, I think they're conditioned to believe that in order to feel like they know about something, they're supposed to shit on it a bit. I'm not sure what the psychology behind it is, but and then there was tons of people that came to the defense. But then again, it's a very small percentage of people. I know all there is to
know about the crying. My thanks to Anthony Corelli for joining us all the way from Colombia. That entire interview is going to be up this week at patreon.com/snmeradio. So if you're not a patron, get on it, and you'll be able to hear all of his thoughts about the comeback, what he's going through now, and the nature of fans in the modern day. So, Dave, if Santino were to return, actually, let me take that back. If Anthony, if this treatment is, if it works for Anthony Corelli, and he is to return, does it have to be the return of Santino, or can Anthony Corelli go somewhere else and be that same guy?
I would like to say that he can go anywhere that he wants to because he's very talented. He's got his comedic timing and everything, and he's still in good shape for his age.
Yeah.
But he's best suited sports entertainment, and the Kings are WWE. Right. And he's got the name. Going in as Anthony Corelli or whoever else he was when he was in the Indies, it's not going to have the same impact. And he's going to want the biggest impact that he can have. And I should stop saying impact, but you know what I mean.
He's already done that. I mean, he has been Anthony Corelli in Impact. He has showed up there here and there doing backstage segments for them.
I
never, and actually
I
got taken
that.
Out recent, not recently, but a few months ago. He was like taken out in a stairwell. And I don't think they ever wrapped up that storyline in Impact. But, you know, to me, Anthony Corelli is the person and the guy we in Canada see on Aftermath.
Exactly.
But Santino Marella is the character on screen. And listen, he's one of my favorites.
Yes.
That tea party with Sheamus.
Would you like your tea milky?
Oh, just so wonderful. What a great one-take performer that guy is, you know? I'm sure it was rehearsed beforehand, but you are doing that live.
Yeah.
And it was so great.
Yeah, and he's had so many special moments, like to me personally, because I knew him when I was in my teenage years.
Yeah.
And I go to see shows at his gym in
Destiny,
Mississauga.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to, like, when Alberto threw him out of the
I love that moment
Royal
in the Rumble.
I know, but it was, and he was doing the horn and everything coming around there. And then Daniel Bryan putting him out at the Elimination Chamber when it came down to the two of them. He came so close on so many different occasions, and it was just, you could see the fans wanted it so bad. Like, even if it wouldn't have gone to anything, just I wish he would have had that one moment.
Right, right. I mean, that Royal Rumble. I was like, what's happening here? I remember watching that. I'm like, oh my goodness. What a great, that's one of the things about the Rumble, you just talk about all the Cole can scream this is your WrestleMania moment all you want, but honestly, when I think of great moments, those Royal Rumble moments are huge because it's just so, that match is so different than anything else.
Yeah, you take the two, like what was it, 2009 with Edge coming back the first time, and then this one, and like my favorite was the MSG one where John Cena came back,
right, and no one knew
he was supposed to be out for another 3 months.
It was
just, those things are, you can't replicate those feelings that you get when you see those.
Yeah. So hopefully we do see the return of Santino Marella. Hopefully this works. It's been successful for pretty much everyone that's gone and done this stem cell treatment. So hopefully it does work for him. We got to take a break when we come back. Feedback time. I threw one question out to all of our listeners, and that was, if you had your choice, what match do you want to see at WrestleMania?
Oh.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Sunday night's main event. A little bit more right here on TSN Radio.